True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Behind the scenes, behind the glass, there's no sports, it's Matt and Matt, two producers who happen to be homies, just chilling on the junkies, yeah. It's bit season, what a time to be alive, bit season, couple of regular guys, it's bit season, go have yourself a laugh, it's bit season, ha 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 ha.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Bit Season, episode 98. I'm Drab.
I'm Valdez. A refreshed Valdez.
You still got your tan?
Have you noticed I was tan?
I have noticed. I'm really noticing it here in the Junkie Studio with all the bright lights on you.
All the lighting.
Yeah, you got some great studio lighting on you.
Thank you. I'm glad that you're able to hold down the fort without me. Seems like everything went well.
Do you want things to go poorly when you're gone?
To be honest with you, I heard that the first day there was like a phone disaster that was going on. I heard that the
Yes, but that wasn't. I saw people reference Michael Mars screwing up the phone. Say that actually was not on any of us. That was
a ghost in the system.
No, they went to a different, I don't know, engineering. That was an engineering issue where they went to a different phone system and they weren't connected properly.
Look, at the end of the day, I'm a team player, and I always want the show to do well, and I want everyone to do well. But there is a tiny piece of me inside that there was glee. That things were going a little haywire the first couple of days.
Okay. Well, what's haywire is me punching the studio foam in the edit bays, uploading commercials and trying to get them exactly a minute.
Let me say something. I appreciate you because you really know how to scratch my itch,
all right,
and sympathize with me. And you know, cutting commercials and dealing with sales and dealing with the commercial load is so unorganized. It's so helter skelter. It's every single person thinks that their commercial is the thing that needs to be done immediately. It's all off schedule and. You sympathizing with me having to deal with that, it honestly brings me to tears.
Can I tell you what the most tilting? There were a lot of tilting parts about putting spots in.
The tilt of the week.
My tilt of the week is when sales gives you three lines of copy
yes.
and goes, Hey, why isn't this spot a minute long? And you're like, because you gave me 17 seconds a copy. What am I supposed to do here?
Yes. And then you basically gave me PTSD because I've had this conversation with many people here.
Yeah.
And then they go, well, just have the guys write the commercial out. But that shouldn't work that way. You're the salesperson. You're in direct contact with the client.
What about when they give you 90 seconds of required reading and copy for a 60-second spot?
You know what I do?
What?
I just have them record it, and I go like this.
You send it off.
Not my problem. Not my problem.
Somebody else's problem. Yeah. I that's why we're a good team, Valdez. You do a lot of the heavy lifting of the of the nuts and bolts of like keeping.
You know what I do? This is what I think I do. I do a lot of the dirty work.
You do.
I'm like the offensive lineman.
Yeah, I'm a skill position guy. I'm a diva. I'm a wide receiver.
You are a diva.
Yeah,
You know what? Drab. Whenever there's a great booking, Drab likes to get up and do the first down marker. While my nose is bloodied from holding two defensive linemen.
You know, you are right. Yeah.
You know what it is? It's dealing with all those rugby players in college that I used to bang.
You are spot on, Valdez. You're the left guard of the junkies.
I am the left guard of the show. Yeah. You got me. And sometimes I get the glory where you pull me on a play, but other than that, I just got to protect the talent.
Yep. When things go bad, it's never my fault, but I'll soak up the credit.
Oh, yeah.
But it's there for the taking.
Oh, totally.
That's funny. Well, welcome back. I missed doing bit season last week.
Yeah. You know what? I will say the biggest thing I missed about the show, and I checked in with the show every now and then. It was the first time I had done that in a long time.
Oh, listen to the show on vacation?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
There was a certain thing I wanted to check in on with the show.
Yeah.
Certain segment.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I think I know.
Yeah. But, I will say I didn't miss much, but I did miss doing bit season.
It didn't feel like a complete week without bit season. Yeah. So it's good to have you back. And
I was waiting for D Woods to do a surprise show with you.
I told you that's never going to happen.
Okay.
Not because we're a couple. And you might be able to move on without me. Clearly, you can because you'll do a show with anybody.
Trust me, it's a slog.
You're my life partner, and we're gonna die together, Valdez. 5 minutes apart.
Are we gonna be like Titanic? We're gonna be holding each other on that bed.
We'll go down together. Yes. So if you're not here, I'm not here. That's the way it's gonna work.
We're a package deal.
All right. Well, look, we're going to the Nats game here with the Junks and Mike Rizzo. We're pretty excited about that.
Yeah,
we should
mention that we are recording on a Wednesday, and this will be up on Thursday. But we are recording Wednesday because we are very busy producers.
Well, Thursday is Caps Media Day, so I'll be out on site at the Caps practice facility,
catching those post patterns while I'm in the studio blocking.
Let me tell you something. I'm going to be on 66 West at about 10 a.m. tomorrow. No, I'm not coming back here.
I bet.
No, I'll work the afternoon from home.
Yeah.
So that's
okay. Work from home. Wink, wink.
Like the rest of you suckers out there. All right. So we got a lot to get to. We got AWOD's Radio War. We got Nerds Make the Best Husband. Cakes and some of the Junkies are still here. Yeah. Hopefully they'll come in here.
Maybe some of them will stop by.
We'll talk about Lisa Bobart and her groping in hot dress.
Lauren Bobart.
Yeah, Lauren. Damn it, you wrote Lisa down on the thing because you said Lisa this morning. I said her name's Lauren.
You don't want to know why.
Why? Do you know a Lisa Bobart?
No. This is why. And I got to credit Wacky Jackie for this.
Okay. Right. Your buddy Jackie.
My buddy Jack. And it's a great point. What is going... Brazzers is asleep at the wheel right now.
Yeah, I know.
Where is the Lauren Bobart parody porno?
They should have been shooting it this week, Monday morning.
And I should have been shooting it on Monday afternoon.
It's a missed
opportunity.
Yeah.
Lisa Ann, She's got to get rid of this sports thing. She's the perfect Lauren Boebert lookalike.
She already was that.
She was nailing Palin.
Yeah, she can't play another politician.
She's great at it. That's the thing is, when you have something that's uber successful, you keep pumping them out. Right. Why do you think they're making Barbie 2? She is a great politician porn star. She should be coming out of retirement, and they should be having a theater parody porno movie. They should. I mean, in my brain, I'm basically like Porno Dan right now.
Right.
They should have.
I actually thought you wanted to talk about this. But you just want to talk about porn.
No. Well, I do want to talk. I want to talk about the whole grope. But this is what they should do. They should have a limo scene, like heading to Beetlejuice, right? where they have a limo sex scene. They should have a in theater like hot scene, like that's in front of everyone.
Mm-hmm.
That
nobody else saw.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They go into the bathroom and like she's vaping while the dude's going. All right.
Uh huh.
And then they should have. When you're going, like, they finally get home scene. All right? And you got what?
A three-act play.
Yeah. Each act is 20 to 30 minutes long. And then, boom, you got a whole porno. You got an entire porno movie about it. We are at the end of the golden era of pornos.
We're in the OnlyFans era.
Yes, and it's sad.
I know. It is really sad.
You think about, like, pirates.
Right. Jesse James.
Yeah, Evan Stone. All right. You think about Nayland and Palin. That was probably the last bastion of
at least well known. I mean, I'm sure they still make pornos. I'm sure they still make them, you know, yes. Themed pornos. But there's a Reddit subreddit called In It for the Plot. Right. I always like those. I like the acting a lot of times. I'm just setting the scene up.
I've been waiting all week for this.
Mm-hmm.
It's because
maybe they are working on it. I mean, it is only a few days later.
I know, but the iron is getting cool right now.
It is. Why this is? It's such a intriguing and storyline because obviously Lauren Boebert is very well known politician,
polarizing,
right? Polarizing. People either love her or hate her. Unless you're probably like Valdez and I.
We're just indifferent,
but I know that she is very, very famous. And I'm not going to lie, there is something about her.
There is.
And I think every guy, if you're being honest out there, wants to have sex with her. You either want to hate F her or you're just like in love with her and that's your dream woman.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
You want to spew your and hot, I can, hot political takes.
And I'll make the same argument for AOC.
Oh, I totally agree.
Right,
I think that was a great point that you had on air.
Nobody cared about it, but
I thought it was a great point.
If that was AOC in the theater,
I would still feel the same way.
I would be just as turned on as it is Lauren Boebert, any of them, because
there's just
something about the power in the...
Yes, that's exactly what it is that, number one, there's a stupidity about it. Like, how can you be so oblivious?
Don't you know how famous you are?
Yeah, don't you know how famous you are?
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that she's neglecting that.
She's so horny
and so turned on.
Yeah.
That she doesn't care. She throws caution to the wind. Who cares if I get caught and this becomes a huge story? That is hot within itself. And then also you have the turn back the clock of outside the clothing.
Right. There's so many angles to this.
Yes, there are.
My mind is racing right now.
Yeah. The outside of the clothing rubs and grabs.
Okay, first.
That's also hot.
First off, do you think that they were drunk or was she just so turned on by this handsome man on a first date?
I think, to be honest with you, I don't think you act like that unless you're a little bit tipsy. You know what I mean? Like, you have a little more self-awareness about who you are and what's going on in your surroundings. I don't think that there's women out there or even guys out there that are so ballsy to just start grabbing when the lights go down on a play.
All right. Well, here's the thing. The Junks are clueless, in my opinion, on this whole dating and the real world that's out there because they've been married for so long. Okay. EB doesn't believe that people hook up on the first date.
Well, that's astonishing.
That was astonishing.
Yeah, this isn't the 50s.
And then who brought up, or maybe it was JP. JP, one of them, because JP was thinking that people don't do that in theaters. Like, he was so, the only example he could think of was that Cakes did that when he was 17 in the theater. Does JP understand that probably every Friday night showing that he goes to, JP loves the prime time Friday, Saturday night showing with his wife, that there's some teenager in that theater.
Those blankets.
Yeah.
Why do you think a movie theater is giving out blankets?
Oh, Cakes is in here.
Look what the cat dragged in.
I just assume, Valdez, that in any pack theater that I'm in,
there's at least one handy.
There's guys, someone's cutting a hole in a popcorn.
Yeah.
Like, there's foreplay, and there's all kinds of sex. I thought JP was too hard on you this week, Cakes. Okay. He kept highlighting the fact that you are some pervert out there. That, like, you're the only one that's gotten some action in the theater in your lifetime.
Cakes is in the majority here.
Right.
Yes.
Like, it's the perfect spot, especially when you're 17 or 18.
Yes.
Yes.
You're like, you're not in your parents' basement. You're not in the back seat of a car waiting for like a cop to bust your car.
You go to the point.
Everybody else is doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To some extent. Yeah, I think it's totally normal.
And I think it should be not looked down on. Now, look, I don't think that people should be having sex in a theater or anything.
That's raunchy.
But there should be a little like second base allowed in theater in an AMC, right? As long as you're not messy or anything.
Yeah, as long as there's nothing squirting out.
All right. Just a little touch and feel is totally appropriate.
Hey, but also that's exactly why. That's exactly why everyone is calling this hot, is because you don't see mid-30s, 40-year-old people acting like this, like they're 16 years old. That's why. Mm-hmm. That's also another element as to why it's so hot, is that they're going back to this primitive, primal, testosterone flowing, hormones flowing stage where you're just grabbing on top of clothing. Like when you're in your mid 30s,
you should have more control.
Yes, you have much more control over yourself. Well, you may touch someone on the thigh and then kind of hint at it, and then you kind of gather your wits and you leave and you go bone somewhere else.
Yeah, exactly. That's the move. Is that once if that started happening, I think I'm just
You say, why don't we get out of here?
Yeah, yeah.
That's the hotline. Why don't me and you get out of here?
Like, I've seen Beetlejuice already.
Yeah.
I don't care to see the live action version. I know what's going to happen.
Is there anything unsexier than Beetlejuice?
Yes.
How did that happen?
It's about a couple of rounds and then comes back in the spirit world. Yeah. It's not hot. There's nothing hot about Beetlejuice.
There's nothing. Well, you know what? Maybe it was the snake scene, the sand snake scene, and then she was reaching for a sand snake in the guy's pants.
I also can't believe Beetlejuice is still a touring play.
Oh, yeah, like, that's another one. Hey, wasn't there a sequel?
I think maybe they're making
trying
one.
To make a sequel.
No, Beetlejuice apparently has stage.
Yeah. Maybe she got so turned on by the town, the little town, miniature town that they're making in the attic.
Now,
strip club in the tiny town.
Yes. Now, Cakes,
remember, draw a door, draw the handle, and knock three times. That's what they should have done to get out of the theater.
Okay, now, Cakes, you're obviously a lovely, happily married man, but you are also extremely, I think, apolitical, like Valdez and I. I don't know if apolitical is the right word, but we don't really care. We're not enthralled. We don't have strong opinions. We'd rather listen to fantasy football podcasts.
The political thing I ever do is I vote.
Right. That's about it. Yeah. I'll punch the ticket once every 4 years.
And you know what I don't do is I don't go around bragging about who I vote for or asking about who you voted for.
Don't do that.
I just think the three of us don't want to spend a lot of time thinking about stuff we have no control over. But Valdez and I are on the record that we found it very, very sexy. The whole thing of a woman, a politician, an attractive woman, Lauren Bobart, getting frisky in the theater. Did right. you also find it hot? No political, like, weirdo stance about it, but...
I found
it titillating. It's titillating, right?
When a couple's about to get it on in a dark theater, I'm gonna watch it. It's gonna grab my attention.
And it was a hot dress.
Can you believe she fit in that dress?
She must be a tiny woman, but everything was pushed up.
I thought her jugs were going to pop out.
I think AOC should come. They need to have a rivalry. AOC needs to come out with her own hot little tiny dress, yeah. right? And then and get frisky with her husband or do something. You know, just look hot.
Yeah. I don't know if she's married. I have no idea.
AOC, I think she's married. I think she is. Because I think she lives in, and someone says she lives in Navy Yard. Okay. Like, they see her at Whole Foods all the time.
Yeah, that's kind of creepy.
No, I've seen people. I've heard people say that around here.
Hey, aren't you a little disappointed, though? I said this before you came in. Are you a little disappointed but we haven't gotten a parody porno yet?
Yeah, that should be coming down the pipe.
He wants Lisa Ann to be the
I thought Lisa
Mobart.
Would
be,
well, she's already done Nail and Palin. She's
yeah, that's true.
That's a recurring. This is a recurring role for her.
It's just, she's typecast.
Yeah, she's definitely typecast. Yeah. Just pull her out of retirement.
Hey, if the paycheck is big enough, she'd probably consider it.
How much do you think it would cost her to get, stop doing that dumb sports bit and go take a
write that down.
I know.
All right, so maybe more to come. She's a fun girl.
She catapults to the top of the fun girl.
She knocked Lindsey Vaughn off that pedestal.
Lindsey Vaughn,
she gets a silver medal.
Yeah. She just passed her on the moguls.
All right, well, last thing about the Lone Bobar thing. Why does EB think that nice theaters don't have cameras? What is he? And the cake slid in a conspiracy line that made me laugh. That I don't know if anyone else picked up on, but was well played by Cakes. Of course, nice theaters like that, like the Warner Theater or the Lincoln Theater.
Kennedy Center.
Has cameras.
To be honest with you, I'm actually intrigued to see if there's any more kind of theater sex tapes out there.
There's more unseen
like
files.
Yeah, there's like a genre. Yeah. Right.
Maybe there is.
Someone has to have these collections.
Yeah.
Look, I don't think my Regal number 6 theater probably doesn't have infrared night vision cameras, but any big thing like that. Right. Where he had a mass, like MGM National Harbor Theater. Right, they have camera. Like they have cameras and all these things in case things.
Public space in 2023, you have to expect that you're getting videoed at that point.
Right.
Yeah, cameras all over.
I think deep down, EB. I don't know if he really vocalized it. I think he thinks it was a setup. Like a political attack, and so maybe he was a bit defensive about it, but he shouldn't be. It's fun. The whole thing is fun. There's nothing to be embarrassed about.
Yeah, just fun. There's no right or wrong.
There's no right or wrong. No one's changing any votes.
No.
Or anything like that.
I'm not changing your vote.
All right. So today on the show, we had two actually fun segments, I thought. We brought I love it when we bring Roger.
Roger is an underrated showcase.
Why don't we bring Roger in more often, Cakes?
It shouldn't just be for Buffalo Bills related.
No.
I would love to see him hurdle through a table.
Yeah, I was going to say, is there any chance we can get him to do that?
Probably not. I mean, the Odyssey lawyers would probably lose their mind.
Yeah, but I feel like Roger gets radio.
I don't think he does. I don't think he gets radio. But he's so unique that there's just, he's must listen to. Do you think the listeners like the Roger segments as much as we do? Because we can see him and we know what a weirdo
he is. That's exactly what I was going to say, is that I feel like There's an element to Roger that you have to see. Yeah. Like if you're just listening to him on the radio, I think it's not as funny, but just you're just missing something. There's an ingredient that you're missing.
It gives people a window also into
how creepy radio guys are.
Radio engineers.
Not radio guys. Radio engineers.
Every radio engineer is like Roger, but
the majority of them are.
It gives you like
they're all kind of cut from the same cloth.
I wanted to ask Roger when he was on today. Like, it's a lock. He has like a big 50-foot radio tower.
Oh, he's got a ham radio. Yeah. Hey, when you were talking about him and his wife, all I could think about is him climbing a radio tower like King Kong, holding his wife underneath of his arm and chaining her in a basement. Hey, there's probably a 10% chance his wife is actually chained in his basement against her will.
There's a couple things about this. First off, Rodgers, he said he's 66. He got married in 2005, 18 years ago. So he was late 40s.
Well, he said, 40s. Yeah, he said he's been married for 12 years.
I like how, I don't know who it was, EB or someone said that he was living the bachelor life.
Yeah, right? Oh, yeah.
Like he's out there on the town. She's killing it for years and years.
Yeah, like John Travolta.
No, Rodgers stumbled into something.
Yeah.
And it was probably, you know, he's been married a long time now. Something, very beneficial for him. Now, I thought Roger had, I think he has grown children. I think Roger's a grandfather. So I don't know what's going on, but either Roger had children with another woman.
All right. Which
a long time ago.
Possible.
Or maybe his child is adopted, or it's his wife's child. There's more there that we don't know, but I've heard him talk about his children that are grown. He has a daughter, I think.
So I'm going to guess he has kids from a previous relationship. That's my guess.
So you think he maybe was just killing it over the years.
He's just slaying it all over.
But he may have found a willing partner prior to his current wife.
And Roger is so... He's nonsensical, okay?
He rambles. Extreme of consciousness. That's the best way to describe how he talks.
Picturing Roger wooing a woman
is
like blowing my mind.
I don't know how that can happen.
Well, you know, I know exactly how it can happen. You know how we figured out that when Roger is talking to you, he won't stop talking to you.
That's correct.
And that you have to just walk away while he's talking to you in mid-sentence.
Yeah.
Well, these women that he talks to are nice and compassionate, and they don't want to leave in the middle of a conversation. So Roger literally just talks them until the entire time into marriage.
Yeah, maybe
they can't leave. Leave the conversation.
I've been in conversations with Roger, and it's usually in the break room where he's fixing the coffee machine. He does that, I think, on the weekly. And he'll start talking to me about something tech-related that I have no idea what he's talking about. And then within 60 seconds, I'm walking away, rounding the corner, and he's still talking.
Yes, he'll ask you, this is a Roger conversation right here. Hey, have you seen the coffee machine? We finally got some beans to put in there. But it's been so cold. I don't know if you need the coffee. Have you noticed it's been cold? Do we need to change the thermostat and the thing? I don't know. I got to go out to the site today. It's just
I don't know how many conversations that I've had with him about radio towers.
Well,
I got nothing off.
He spent his entire week tinkering with a television from, I don't know, 2003, pulling the back panel off and unplugging 1,000 wires, trying to figure out what the error code was. Yes. He's been working. It's his project of the week, a $7 television. He's been fascinated by it, trying to get it working again.
You know who he reminds me of? Reminds me of Dan Aykroyd and Coneheads when he works at the shop.
Yeah,
that's Roger.
But Roger is great radio.
I think so too.
Yeah, I mean he's just a really good character. Now, what do you guys make of nerds making the best husbands? Do you agree with that?
I think no. I don't agree with that whatsoever, because I feel like when push comes to shove, that girls, younger women want hot guys. I feel like. The nerd thing is for when you hit your 30s and all of a sudden you haven't found your guy. I feel like that's when you start stooping to nerds.
So nerds can tell it with the 30s.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
It's not what they want, okay? But like Jason is the ultimate jock, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He's a good athlete. All he cares about is watching sports, gambling.
Yes, he's not going to a wedding in Atlanta because it's on a college football Saturday.
Roger doesn't want to travel. Roger would never do that. Roger
can be. This is what it is. Nerds are controllable.
Okay. Wait, is he afraid of losing the woman?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You can't believe you got this hot chick that's into you, and you're going to do whatever you can to keep her there. So you're subservient to her. You're not saying, I'm not doing that. I'm playing in a scramble foursome with my boys. He's not going to rock the boat. She gets what she wants.
I know, but what nerds, geeks, I like saying nerds, I feel like is a bullying term. Geek is a little bit more friendly. Doesn't Neil Greenberg like to be called the sports geek instead of the sports nerd? Yeah, I think so. All right, so
AY calls himself the sports nerd.
Yeah, stats geek. Nerds spend their entire time daydreaming about treating the girl right, and that the jock can never treat. That's how they always dream about getting the girls, because she's going to realize one day that the jock is the asshole.
I'm definitely taking it. Right for
revenge. That's where they get it from. That is like a trope.
Yeah,
it's a trope.
Isn't it a line in the movie like all jocks think about his sports, all nerds think about his sex?
Yeah.
Well, that's when he rocked that girl's world and the moon bounced, and then they deleted
that's
the scene.
All Drab can think about is having that mask on and pretending the jock.
I'm not a Star Wars dork. Yeah. I'm not a
Drab really can't stop thinking about that rape scene.
Yeah, I know. I heard that reference. I ignored it today during the show.
Well, I held back because I didn't. Rape's in the news a lot.
Yeah. I remember watching that scene so many times and never questioning that it was inappropriate.
Yeah.
Or like that this should be banned or something. I mean, clearly it was inappropriate to do what he did, but.
Yeah, he put on a mask, pretended to be somebody else, then stuck his nerd.
We'll never see that scene again for the rest of our life.
Can't do that one again.
How many of those movies were there?
Oh, there's a billion,
right?
So many Revenge of the Nerds. At least
I'm going to say five.
Yeah. You don't remember the main character's name?
Louis.
What's his last? Skolnick. Yeah. Louis Skolnick.
Yeah. Well, you remember in like the fourth or fifth one, it's where he became like a tech savant and became really wealthy,
right?
And then became a nerd. Became a nerd douche.
Hey,
your favorite nerd is Lamar.
Yeah, I do love Lamar. Can I tell you why I love Lamar? Because Lamar, in like his silky smooth legs, right, when he threw the javelin. And he studied like how to make the aerodynamic, and he like blew past this jock's javelin throw. I got sice for that scene.
Who was the Asian?
I don't remember their names. Oh. All right.
What was the fraternity name?
Lambda, Lambda, Lambda. Yeah. Valdez likes the sorority in that.
Yeah, I know.
The Mega Moo, the Moos, right?
Something, Phi Mega Moo or something like that. Mega Moo. Yeah.
Maryland chapter. That's what Valdez was after.
I ran through the Mega Moo chapter. Yes, I know. I think you've used that one before.
Sorry. I think they're probably better husbands.
Probably.
At their core, just because, yeah, you're right, they're always afraid of losing the girl, so they know how to treat one.
Yes, and also think about it is they're more stable. Mm-hmm. That they probably earn a lot more.
Yep.
So they're a better investment.
For sure.
They are. They're a better investment.
I know, but you guys are obsessed with a hot girl picking a nerd over a jock.
Well, it's un-American. I said this on air. It is un-American. It's if the cheerleader is going out with the head of the chess team. Mm-hmm. It is un-American that she needs to go out with the football captain, the quarterback. All right. The center, the starting pitcher. Okay. The starting point guard. That's who she needs to date.
Hey, there was something in that story that we didn't even bring up about who to date. And it was about the girl from the TikTok that JP kept referencing.
Oh, that was tilting.
JP
was just obsessed with the TikTok.
Yeah, that it came from TikTok. She's upset because she said there is this theme in American culture that in the movies that the nerdy girl grows up into
blossoms into the sexy woman.
But there's never the nerd that blossoms into like the Jeff Bezos, that becomes the stud. It never happens. And she wants that to turn around. And there really isn't, like dorky high school guy. Can you think of any examples?
Mm.
Becomes like this mega stud?
Not really. You're
Right.
The only thing I can think of is the Bezos look.
Hey, Bobby, maybe that's a good concept for the yes no men. Pitch that to the studio.
Yeah, revenge of the jock.
No, nobody cares about that. Stick to what works. The dorky girl, change, become sexy hot.
No. Hold on.
The 90s girl. What's that 90s film?
You're sleeping on?
What?
Jenny Jones.
What do you mean, Jenny Jones?
Jenny Jones. She used to always have the, I used to be a geek, now I'm chic. And then all of a sudden, they would bring out the person that would make fun of them and bully them and call them ugly. And they would come out, they would look like a Chippendales dancer.
Cakes, do you know that Valdez has an obsession with Jenny Jones? Like, this guy knows he's obsessed with the dumb, serious host, Rude Jude. He's watched every episode.
Trashy daytime TV.
Do you remember what Big Owen Duke's tertiary character was a contestant, was on the Jenny Jones show?
No.
I'm guessing.
No, hold on. You told me.
I think I've told you before.
He was like a paid actor that used to
I don't know if he was paid. I think he just had issues in his life. I think he had a lot of children when he was young. I don't remember why. Right. Stalk of Corn. Just former guest on the Jenny Jones show.
No, but like the Jenny Jones show, Ricky Lake, all of those daytime television shows, they used to do the, you used to make fun of me, but now I'm hot.
Right.
They used to do those, so.
I was more of a Montel fan. A little bit more classy. all right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, I don't know if Cakes is sticking around. He's got a lot of stuff to do here. I want to talk about the Survivor pool. I have some thoughts on that.
We got to get into AWOD's Radio War.
Absolutely.
And we have our Jumbo Lump Parlay coming up in the next segment. But first, we got to tell you about Don't Sleep Energy Drink. Don't Sleep supports Bit Season, supports Cakes, supports the Junks. Get some today at don'tsleepenergy.com and use the promo code BITSEASON. That's BITSEASON for 10% off every order, not just your first, every order. Follow and like on all social media at Don't Sleep Energy. We love Mike. We love Don't Sleep Energy, but we got a lot more when we come back.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
All All right, welcome back to Bit Season. We got a lot planned here for the final 30 minutes. Real quick, though, this segment is brought to you by Crab Sports. Super excited about this. Crab Sports is Maryland's local sports book. Crab Sports is partnering with local businesses and media outlets to bring you the best localized betting experience. Make sure you guys sign up and then check out the Jumbo Lump Parlay. Valdez and I are loving this. Crab Sports wants to remind you guys to play responsibly. For help, visit mdgamblinghelp.org or call 1-800-GAMBLER. Must be 21 years of age or older. Now, Valdez, Crab Sports, you got to be in Maryland, right? You get on the website, crabsports.com, get on your phone and do it. I'm going to be driving over to MGM National Harbor.
We're in the parking lot.
McDonald's parking lot. Putting my bets in.
I know.
All right, so we suck. Like, we have sucked the first 2 weeks
we have done this. We need to have a talk with them to see if they can boost this even more. Because at some point, we're going to hit our place.
Here's what I love, that me and you are 0-4, all right?
0-2 each.
It's rare. Usually we know what we're betting on, in, especially college football, that we went to what we know best.
the locals.
All right, what is your play this week?
My play this week is the Ravens-Colts over 44. I love the way that Lamar and the offense looked against Cincinnati. The defense played very well, but they always play Cincy very well. And I think the Ravens have a kind of a – they don't do so well against these running quarterbacks. So if Richardson plays, I think there's going to be a lot of points.
All right. So you're going to lump that in with Drab's play. Well, this, to me, is a no-brainer. Like, this jumped off the charts at me. And you are the Ravens expert.
I am the Ravens
expert. I am the Seahawks expert.
You are.
And this line, I think, opened up at -4.5, or at least it was on Monday before Monday Night Football. The Seahawks play at home to the Carolina Panthers. It's only a 5.5-point spread.
Yeah, I don't get that.
I don't think the Seahawks are some great team.
No.
And their home field advantage.
Carolina's off of a short rest on a Monday night.
Short week, traveling across the country with a poo-poo offense.
Rookie quarterback. With the 12s.
They scored 10 points in week one, 17 points in week two against two bad teams. There is no chance that Carolina Panthers hang within 6 points of the Seattle Seahawks. It's impossible.
I picked up Seattle as my streaming.
You should. Their defense kind of sucks. But
Bryce Young sucks.
Bryce Young's, Panthers offense stinks.
I like our play. Hopefully we get it boosted more for you guys.
I'm telling you right now, I'm going to put my own money on Seahawks having a double-digit victory. But for this sake of this Jumbo Lump Parlay, we're going to do Seahawks -5.5.
So go to Crab Sports. Look for our Jumbo Lump Parlay. The odds will be boosted. And you know what? We're due.
We are due.
We are due. Speaking of sports, I mentioned to you at the beginning of the show, I was checking in, and that's because there was a lot of chatter online about the survivor pool.
Right.
And I wanted to check in, and I heard that basically survivor pool mania has taken over the junks.
All right. Well, first off, you were around for the first week of it.
Yeah, I was.
So you were around when we did our Vikings pick.
Yeah, and I wasn't there to get razzed on when the Vikings lost.
Minimal joning.
Okay.
Because the junkies don't like to joan anymore, yeah, right?
You're right. They don't joan.
All right. So we have never had so much feedback on a segment in a long time. Mm-hmm. As far as, especially something that's reoccurring or that people are into. And I want to pat myself on the back, and I want to pat your back, Valdez.
Okay, thank you.
Because we did this together.
We do everything together.
We came up with this together. This is one of our summer projects. We talked about on the show, like, we wanted to do a junkie survivor pool where the listeners and the junkies, we had our own thing, but we couldn't make it work.
So what did we do is we hopped onto glommed onto the biggest survivor pool in the country.
Right. And you know what? But it's working out great because the payday, the eyes on the payday is,
this is a way that the guys can talk about other teams besides the Commanders for 12 segments of the show.
So two of the things that have come out of this that I think are extremely beneficial, that being one of them, the guys, especially, maybe JP isn't as big on like, JP is just like a stats guy. And I don't really know. I'm not trying to like, but he doesn't really care about what's going on else in the league. EB definitely doesn't. Like, he has zero interest in it.
Okay. I would say if you had to, JP knows what's going on in the league, but he's, I would say Eric's probably the odd man out in terms of not being kind of aloof of what's
going on.
Okay,
maybe that's fair. Maybe JP, he does. I mean, he does. He hosts the Blitz.
But I know what you're saying.
But I don't think he's passionate. He's not necessarily passionate about what's going on around the league. It's more of like reactionary. Or like, I don't know. I just don't get that feeling.
Okay.
Maybe I'm wrong. You definitely disagree with that.
I disagree, but I can see what you're getting at.
Do you think JP will sit around and just watch a football game of two random teams?
No, he has to. Well, he watches them. Yeah, he watches if it's on Monday night or Thursday night. Yes, but on Sunday he's watching Red Zone all day.
Okay, you may be right. Maybe that's a misread by me. All right, so EB definitely has no interest in what's going on around the league.
Okay,
so they are all now aware of what's going on around the league.
They're aware
right?
of who's good, who's not good.
But they're going to have to watch other games. They're going to have to know about matchups. They're going to have to know about players and be just more well-informed about the league as a whole. Mm-hmm. That's a bonus. The biggest bonus is that they are passionate about something. Like, they are extreme. We've talked about this before on the show. Like, sometimes we feel like
when we do the parlay, we feel like
we're just going through the motions, yeah. right? Or we're doing it for the sake of doing it.
Uh-huh.
That is not the case here. Like, they are all locked in. It took 2 weeks, first week, whatever. But by this past week, they were fired up.
Yeah.
And in my opinion, in my radio instincts, I thought it was awesome radio.
I wanted to tune in because I heard the guys are like bickering about it. And I go, I got to tune in. I got to hear how this is playing.
So what happened was on Thursday. Now, look, this is designed. The whole thing is designed for one segment. It's never meant to be like a big part of the show.
We're not going to take the entire show.
Right.
Because
I
to play.
Right. But it was something organic happened. Okay, so it was set for 9:20 on Thursday. They give their picks: two guys for the Giants, two guys for the Bills. Then they give out their ranking system that they want to do, and there was a tie in the ranking system. Like there was no breaking it.
Okay,
and so they were deadlocked. And so I'm texting you like, when does the pick have to be in?
Yeah,
because I thought maybe by chance it had to be by Thursday. You said it has to be in by Saturday morning, so I knew we had time. EB said, "Let's sleep on it. Let's come back tomorrow." Hung jury. Let's come back and figure out how we're going to do this tomorrow. Nobody knew. EB texts me on Thursday night, so excited. He goes,
can't stop thinking about it.
Can't stop thinking about it. And he goes, I got it. I got a great idea. First of all, we love this. When the guys
bring something to us that they want to do.
EB goes, just like a... how they do it with a filibuster or how they do it with the Pope or how they do it on Survivor. Like, let's take votes, and then if there's no resolution, you vote again, and then you vote again, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, that's great. Like, that's a great – none of it was really planned. Like, nobody said, let's sit around and make half of Friday's show about the Survivor. But that was never the plan.
You're not going through the rundown and doing, all right, at 6:20, 7:45, and 9:20, we're going to do Survivor segments.
In fact, it was only on the rundown for Friday for one segment.
Yeah.
But once you got to kind of roll with it sometimes. And especially if they're so dialed in on something that they're super excited about. And, you know, did I string it out a little bit? Because I was the vote counter. I was reading the votes.
Uh-huh.
And so I would get the votes in hand. They go, let's find out. And I go, got to go to break. All right.
Yeah.
I'm just the old dynamite technique.
When we come back,
right? It's just the way it kind of worked out. But the whole thing, none of it was planned. It was just kind of like an organic thing like that. And they were into it, and it did not get resolved until 9:45 on Friday.
Right.
Where I'm drawing a blank. How did we end up finally picking the Giants?
I was playing golf at Harbortown during then, but
I did all the votes. We took callers. Oh, they eventually switched. We took and then Lurch switched his vote to the Cowboys.
Oh,
that's what it was.
So
because
that was
late momentum for the Cowboys.
Yeah. Okay, that was basically his silent protest.
No,
I'm not going to take the
It wasn't. It was well played by Lurch. In the end, though, he ended up losing because I think he thought somebody else would jump. Because there was suddenly talk when they would talk about, should we vote for the Cowboys? Vote for the Cowboys. No one said they were going to. You weren't allowed to say who you're going to vote for, but you could discuss it. So I think he thought that maybe somebody else was going to jump because the Cowboys were guaranteed winners against the Jets.
Yeah.
But they didn't want to blow it. They didn't want to burn it. So
the strategy is what's really helping this whole thing. because it seems easy to just pick a winner every week, just one money line winner.
Right.
But the strategy is what's making this go real well.
And then, so the votes come in, one for Buffalo, one for the Giants, one for the Cowboys.
Oh, and then the next one.
And then the fourth one is going to decide whoever it was.
Did you plan that? Did you do that on your own, or did that's how it came in?
No, that's literally how it came out. I did not look at the votes, anything beforehand. And then once I realized I had a deciding vote,
yeah,
I said, after the break. I did that bidding. I did it like two or three times.
that made you feel really good. What's the show that they do that? We'll tell you. Don't they do that on American Idol or something?
Yeah.
After the break.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Right? Once I saw what was happening and it was kind of playing out that way, of course we want to, you know, make you stick around. And then so actually we bring back and we have Chris Harris Jr. from the Broncos, former Pro Bowl quarterback on the show at 9 o'clock. Uh-huh. I said, let's come back after the break and do it. JP's radio instincts were at 0.0 on Friday. Okay? I love JP. 0.0 on the rating, on the instinct scale. Yeah. He comes back with Chris Harris on the line, already on, or whatever, and he goes, Shay, should we just unveil the winner right now while Chris is on hold? And the guys looked at him like he was an alien.
Yeah.
Like, no, of course not. We built this drama's been built up.
We're going to
milk it again and go back to it after the interview. And then at the very beginning of the show, on Friday morning when EB unveiled his great plan to vote like the Pope or the politician.
See, this is when I tuned in and I heard this and it made me cringe.
I almost fell out of my chair.
When this is all going on and then JP just goes, I'll switch my vote.
I nearly fell out of my chair. I couldn't believe his instincts to not vibe with EB. Yeah. EB was vibing on something, not to roll with it and let him go
and
play along or whatever, right?
It's almost like the Survivor pool was like a burden to him that he had to just, all right, let's get this over with so we can get back to our show.
Yes.
That's kind of the vibe that I got.
And the worst part of it was that he goes, I decided on the way in, I'll just switch to the Bills. I
had a theory about that.
I couldn't believe what I was hearing.
I had a theory.
And thank God he got bullied. They don't do a lot of Joan anymore. Thank God JP got bullied into that one where he was like, no, we're not doing that. Donk.
My theory.
But he did kill some of the suspense.
My theory is that JP felt like this was an opportunity to grab two teams. Mm-hmm. So JP said, well, I picked the Bills to begin with. All right. That's my team. So if the Bills win. Mm.
He can claim,
well, I picked the Bills. I didn't want to pick the Giants. I got forced into picking the Giants.
Right.
But if the Giants win and the Bills lose, no, everyone just forgets about JP picking the Bills because he's on the right side. Because he's on the right side.
I call that ABR. Always be right. That's JP's motto. So he can always.
But that's he played both sides so that he could.
That's
claim,
what he wanted to do.
Yeah. So he could claim victory if one hits and the other doesn't hit.
Absolutely.
That's just my theory. I feel like that's good. Also, that ABR is going to be coming down the pike a little more.
All right, did it go probably too long on Friday? Of course, it kind of like you. But you guys know the junks. Like if they become obsessed about something, it can sometimes take over the show or whatever it is.
You got to pivot.
And if you're not into it, maybe you hated it. But I'm telling you. Tons and tons of people were into it.
Yeah, yeah.
We've never had so many compliments about it.
Tell me more about the compliments that I missed out on.
Well, you missed a lot of ADs. We were getting ADs, producer ADs, genius level producing
from,
you guys.
From the guys or from listeners?
On listeners. You know, I listened to the whole show. I couldn't turn off my radio because people like to live vicariously through the junkies, right? And that was the whole plan of this thing, especially if they get hot. But I was feeling good. But my only thing is that I told you, like, we'll check out the Reddit page every once in a while. I don't know if it's an internet thing or a Reddit thing where everybody hates everything, and maybe that's kind of like overwhelming the junkies Reddit at this point where nobody's happy about the show. They hated the Survivor pool. There wasn't one compliment.
That's surprising.
There wasn't one compliment on the Reddit page about the Survivor pool. Everyone was bemoaning that they weren't into it or that it took over the show. Poor producing by Drab.
Did they expect us to play horror bore or something?
Yeah. First off, guys, and then they're upset about Monday being a football show. 12 segments of being on a football show. First off, Nobody loves non-sports more than Valdez and I. You have to play the hits. Our stream, we can't tell our ratings and what we get paid on, how the radio station gets paid. We can't tell those on an immediate basis. Those comes out down the line, but we can tell exactly how many people are listening to our stream at any given time. It's never been higher than it was on Monday morning. You guys just have to understand that if you're frustrated. We, too, love the non-sports stuff. We want to talk about Lauren Boebert and her hot dress on a Monday morning, as it happened over the weekend, yeah. Right? We just couldn't. Because we have to save it. The listeners' ship was through the roof. All-time high ratings. Our ratings actually have never been higher than they are right now because so many people are interested in the Dan Snyder ship change and the preseason. People are just excited. Yes, so on Mondays, it's going to be Commander Days or Football Days. You just got to suck it up if you're a P1 and you don't really like the football stuff. It is what it is. We got to play the hits. But they didn't like the survivor pool. Some of them don't like it at all, and then some of them are upset that it just
goes on too long and meanders.
Yeah, yeah. But I actually saw someone say Valdez will get the show back on track when he comes back.
Hey, that's my man.
Right. I was already miffed when I saw that, and then I saw that, and I'm like, come on.
That gold star. How do I like upvote that?
yeah, upvote it. I know. Valdez is on. I believe Valdez is on the same page with me with a survivor pool.
I am on the same page. This is what I don't understand. Isn't the best part of the junk show like the infighting and like the back
and
forth?
Dude, there was so much fighting
and the bickering and
EB. It was old school. Yeah, EB bullying JP.
Isn't that what we like?
That's what we're going for.
That's what we're trying to do.
Yes,
we finally found something that they feel like they can make fun of each other for, but without making fun of each other. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a safe way. It's a safe way to bully each other.
And that's why
we finally found the nerve that we can press down on that makes them uncomfortable with
and
each other.
And do you know why they care about this? It's because it's their own money. Like, it's not the parlay, I'll be honest, has lost its luster. And we're trying to figure out a way to get it back, but I don't want to say it's a filler segment, but sometimes it feels like that.
Yeah,
like,
sometimes
we're
it does.
Just doing it for the sake of doing it.
Yeah, it's the segment before Feinstein.
You and I want it to be better. We've discussed that before.
I had no idea.
This is the dream. Like, they are passionate about it. They're fronting their own money.
They're thinking about it after the show's over.
There's a lot on the line. But I told you guys, and EB referenced it, I think last week or maybe the week before, he goes, we're not supposed to give out who we're thinking about because Drab's anal about this. I don't know if anybody picked up on that. Because it's my instincts are shooting pew 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 pew
explosion
explosion. It ricks me when on a Monday or a Tuesday when the guys are talking about all the favorites and who they're going to pick that week and what they're leaning towards.
We can't have that.
I don't want that because I want it to be saved for Thursday at 9:20 where they just unveil it to each other. This is who I'm thinking. They don't know. Nobody knows what EB's thinking. Nobody knows what Cakes is thinking.
We don't want the pick to be settled within 2 minutes of the segment.
No, I want them to debate. I want them to yell at each other. You know, you're going to screw me, you idiot. You don't know what you're talking about. Daniel Jones sucks or whatever. And I was rooting. I never rooted harder for the Giants than I was Sunday because the segment to continue.
We were hanging out together watching the game.
We were.
Rooting together.
We were because I think it's good radio. At its core, it's good radio. Could it be improved? Could we not do it on four or five segments on a Friday? Probably. But that's not the plan. That was never the plan. It was just an organic thing that happened where we couldn't break the tie.
The guys are passionate and they're in each other's faces about something, we're going to keep it going.
Yes. I don't know. I mean,
I don't know. Hey, you don't have to convince me.
Right. I know. Well, you're going to get us back on track this week.
Yeah, I am. Don't worry. The bits are coming, guys.
We're going to talk about the survivor pool for 7 minutes, 7 minutes only.
Hey, let me tell you something. I'm going to put a timer in the background. When you hear that buzzer, you better have your play in. All I did was sit at the beach and think of bits for the entire week.
I do think that the odds of them being gridlocked like that are pretty low because they do have this tiebreaker system where they write down other teammates.
I know, that's my fault. I ruined that.
Why?
Because I'm the one that told them about the tiebreaker system. I said, this is what me and Uncle Kenny and Bunky do
when
we
go
to our horses, is that we all rank our horses 1 through 5.
Right. No, it worked out. I mean, I think it will work out in the following weeks. They were just, it didn't break the horse.
To Thanksgiving, to November. If they get to November, then I feel like the infighting will be ramped up. Yeah. Like, this was just an appetizer.
Guys, it was week two. You don't understand, first off, the tension that could be brought on this if the junkies are like one of the final 200 or something that.
Oh, the chop talk.
Yeah. They're going to write a DC sports blog about it.
Yeah.
You know, it would.
Hey, we're going to have our Mayor Ford article.
We might. We might. And, you know, maybe we'll get a little tip at the end.
You know what? I'm so glad you brought that up. Hey, I'm so glad you brought that up.
Right? The junkies won't hear this. The junkies win $8 million.
The first day back, and we're talking about the guys advancing the survivor pool, mm-hmm. and then the $9 million that's in the pool. All Drab thinks about is, hey, how much are the guys going to peel off for us if they end up winning this whole thing?
All right. If they each take home $2 million. Okay. Right. Well, they win $2 million.
Taxes, about $1 million.
Two, three, or whatever it is. After taxes, they're taking home what? $1.3 million each. Yeah, okay. Let's just say that. I would hope that my Christmas bonus is a little thicker this year for the great idea of pushing them into this.
We push that. That'd be just our luck, too.
Right.
We pick the Vikings, get eliminated, we push them into this, and they fall headfirst into money.
Yeah.
Just our luck.
You know what? The 80s are good enough for now.
Okay.
But they only, it's not unlimited.
Tell that to Cakes. Right. And you guys, how much do you think they would, it's an appropriate tip?
If they win if they take on $1.3 million?
For the survivor pool. They win the whole blicky.
You want my honest answer?
Yeah, I want your honest answer.
Okay, I'll give you what I think is a dream scenario.
You're going to give me the dream scenario and then the realistic
scenario. Okay. Dream scenario, 50,000
each or from
each? No, 50,000 total. So they each give us like 12,000, whatever it is. Okay. All right. So we take home. Realistic scenario.
Dinner at the Palm.
Realistic scenario, they give us 2,000 each. Oh. So 8,000.
Oh. Appreciate it, guys.
Yeah.
All right. Well, what about the runner?
That even might be too much.
What about the runner?
What runner?
The one that I had us, the proxy, and then the person in Vegas that I had to wire the money.
Oh, you got
to
tip them?
I don't know. You tip a dealer if you win a poker tournament.
They get what we get.
Oh, that's disappointing.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not big into the tipping. I just don't play enough, so I don't know. What's customary.
I think I gave the dealer $400 before I left.
Oh, of your 5,000?
Yeah.
Oh my God, dude, that's a big chunk.
It's Cakes' reputation. It's the junk's reputation.
Ugh.
I didn't want to.
Are dealers just racking in the dough? Giving them hundreds and hundreds of dollars.
It gets split between every single dealer that's there.
Oh, okay.
Hey, speaking of radio,
yeah.
I wanted to talk briefly about AWOD and his eerie radio wars. Yeah. Before we head out, it was great hearing from Adam today.
Mm-hmm.
I lit up like a Christmas tree when I saw this back and forth between Adam online. This is what I'm happy about. I'm happy that Adam didn't back down.
Sure.
I'm happy that he went all in. What I'm not happy about, and I'm also happy that the AWOD Army had his back.
I thought the AWOD Army was a myth. I don't know what's going on, but check out the mentions on that tweet.
I know.
It's like
it's almost like the ONA virus.
It is. Yeah. He's got his own virus.
Yeah, it's our stoolies coming to Portnoy's defense. It's the same exact thing.
I was aghast at how many. I don't know if people are doing bits or what, but or if AWOD has an army for real, but they were ready to fight for him.
I was actually jealous. I was like, do we have a bit season army?
I don't know if there's maybe we need a radio war podcast.
Our bitty battalion.
Yeah.
But this is also, this is what frustrated me, is how do the guys not know that Adam's playing the hits?
I know. Right? First of all, what was so hard about that segment with the EB couldn't figure it out why Adam was taking shots at the Erie guy?
This is what you do in sports radio.
Yes, it's sports radio 101 if you're a hack.
Yes, you're Charles Barkley. You call San Antonio fat and ugly. Yeah.
Hack is the wrong word. If you just like lowest common denominator.
It's low-hanging fruit,
yeah.
It's radio layups.
It's
a warm-up toss.
I mean, first of all, I wouldn't have the balls to do what Adam did. Like, he knew the play-by-play guys were in the booth next to him. And those paper-thin walls or whatever, he's calling them fat and ugly. Even though I don't think the guy was. I don't think the guy was fat, and I think he had a full head of hair and everything. Adam was just saying, I bet you they are ugly, and Erie sucks. That's a good job by Adam.
That's a great run.
Yeah, so, and then he came on the Junks this morning and tried explaining it, and, I want to listen today.
I want to hear him double down.
He's desperate, though. He's been telling us forever that he wants a radio war, though. Like, he wants.
Good.
I like to think
I'm like the Roman Empire of radio wars.
What does that mean?
I think I'm really good at them.
I know why you brought up the Roman Empire.
But you know what I mean.
Let me ask, do you think about the Roman Empire? No, I'm asking you.
I think about aqueducts a lot.
Mm-hmm.
the water system feed, how ahead of its time it was. Mm-hmm. I probably think about the Roman Empire once a month.
If you don't know what we're talking about, just get on TikTok or Instagram or whatever. There's a whole thing going around where women ask their husbands how much they think about the Roman Empire, and their answers are just funny,
daily,
once a week, and then women are astonished that guys think about that.
But this is why I feel like I'm an expert in radio wars, because I feel like I'm a good Joner.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I know all the tricks of the trade. Did you know? Even during the show. And during bit season and everything else, this is the trick that I've learned about radio wars.
What's that?
Is that always have your mic on a little bit louder than everybody else.
So if Adam invites that guy on today.
Oh, yeah. This is what Adam
needs to do. Because I'm guessing they're still there for round game number two.
Number one, Adam's mic needs to be like two pods up over his. All right, just so you can verbally tower.
Give him some pointers.
I am.
All right, give him some more.
Your mic should be at like plus two, and his should be at even.
Okay.
All right, just so that listeners hear your voice over his when you're screaming, because that's why you need it. Mm-hmm. So say me and you start. Argue back and forth. You were arguing back and forth. Yeah. My voice. Oh, well, yeah. You're screaming. I'm screaming.
How dare you?
I don't know. F you. F you. All right.
That's rule number one.
Rule number one. Yeah. Your mic is louder. Yeah. Louder than the caller. Louder than the other talent's mic or the other in studio mic.
Okay, great. Right. Love it. All right. What's the rule number two?
Rule number two. And this is what I want Adam to do is he needs to write his attack down. Because what's going to happen is this is going to get back to the other person, and you need to be surgical with what you're going to say. Because if you're stuttering, then the guy just going to go
another ABR. Always be ready.
Always be ready.
You got to be have your gun holstered and ready, locked and loaded, and ready to go, ready to fire.
You also need a nuclear Oppenheimer bomb, bomb in your back pocket, so that when you get pushed
your
against
your jerk storm moment,
when you get pushed against the wall, that you pull that thing from your back pocket and you spike it down like an atomic bomb. Something along, if you're getting beat up, you need to go, I had sex with your wife, right? You need one of those.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And don't use it. That's a break glass in an emergency. All right? Like if Erie, Pennsylvania.
Has Erie ever had a tragedy?
Yes. Okay. You need an Erie tragedy. Yeah. Tragedy.
What are they known for? Like, is there? Yeah.
Aren't they the? That's Cleveland. I was saying Lake Erie. I was going to say Mistake by the Lake.
Wasn't Erie, Ohio? Was that the train derailment? Was that East Palestine? Yeah. Okay.
Blatant history of racism in this town.
Right.
All right.
Something. Some horrific tragedy in that town. You need to reference.
Yeah. That's something that they, for instance, you would bring up the Freddie Gray riots.
Right, if you're talking about Baltimore.
Yeah, you're talking about me, right?
All right. An Oppenheimer. You got to have an Oppenheimer. That's great.
You need a mic drop zing.
All right.
You can't use that unless you absolutely need that.
All right. Rule number one, mic higher. Rule number two, an Oppenheimer. Finally, what's his final piece of advice?
All right. Final.
You are giddy.
I am, because I love these. Final piece of advice. Always be ready to deflect.
Yes. Yeah. Deflect.
Yeah.
Because they're going to come fire at you and
yeah, they're going to bring this on you and you're going to say, and you say, no, that was my producer.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah. I call that spinning it around the room.
Yeah.
Always deflect. When it's put on you, you got to think around. It's a mirror. It bounces off you and shoot it across the room to someone else.
Yeah. Like if they call you a no talent clown, right? You say, I'm no talent. You're no talent. Hey. You're doing play by play in Erie.
Yeah.
You don't even have your own show. You're doing play by play in Erie.
Yeah.
All right.
Right. Or just out of all else fails, directly attack his looks.
Totally.
And his get up or what he's wearing. Look for outdated fashion.
Oh, totally outdated fashion. Make fun of his children.
Yes. Well, that goes in the Oppenheimer.
Yeah. Right. This is what Adam needs to have ready to go. He needs to say, take your no talent out my studio. Strike three. You're out of my studio. Call that one.
You turn off his microphone.
Don't be afraid to turn off his microphone. No. It's your show.
No, no, that's bad. That's bad. That's only if you're getting obliterated and it's over.
That's your cyanide pill.
Yeah. All right, that's it. All right, we got to go to Nats Park.
Yeah. We got to go to Nats Park. We got to go talk to Rizzo and all that good stuff.
All right, guys, have a good afternoon. We'll see you back on the job.
Guys.
Later.
Thank you for Cakes for jumping on with
us. Thank you guys. Later.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.